AG.com.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Edition of Sweet Liberty. I'm Jeffrey Bennett, guest host, filling in for Jackie Petru this evening. Proud to be here. Oh, you're listening to this program in many, many different venues. Certainly on FirstAmendmentRadio.com, on the satellite at Galaxy 13, Channel 16, 7.70 audio, and of course on WWCR, Worldwide Christian Radio. 5.07 megahertz on your shortwave dial. Let us talk a little bit tonight about a number of things. First and foremost, I'm going to take this program down a slightly different path. I know many of you are tuning in tonight expecting to hear Chapter 3 of The Mask of Demetrios. I think for fairly obvious reasons we're not going to play Demetrios tonight. This is a very time-sensitive issue we're going to deal with tonight. And even though I talked to Jackie earlier in the week about where I wanted to take this program, well, to some degree, we're still going to take it in those directions. Let's just see how it unfolds. You ever stop to wonder about the meaning of the word delusion? It is an erroneous belief that is held in the face of evidence to the contrary. Bah, humbug! Well, I'm sure that that will be the reaction from many of you who listen to this hour tonight. In this most joyful of holiday seasons, when our thoughts turn to ho, ho, ho and manger scenes, why is it folks like me just can't sit back and bask in the glow of the holiday lights? Why is it, Bennett, they ask, that you have to be so damn negative? There's enough of that in the world. There's enough of that that goes on in the alternative media 365 days of the year. Why don't you just lighten up? You know, Christmas is supposed to be the time of peace and joy. the church gets a chance to celebrate the birth of the Savior. Well, go ahead and call me Scrooge. Tell me to lighten up, to stop being such a killjoy, to get in the holiday spirit. Try as I might, I just can't get past the fact that, well, to me anyway, Christmas is more than a holiday season. It is the prelude to the central event of my Christian faith. For you see, without Easter, Christmas is meaningless. The Christmas story is not about the birth, it is about the death. It is not about the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, it is ultimately about the empty tomb. And in all of the hustle and bustle of Christmas, the central question that must be asked is, why was the Christ child born? Well, you know, like most other folks in this country, my family celebrates Christmas. We enjoy the lights, the music, the Christmas spirit. We put up a tree. Yeah, we decorate the house to some degree. We buy each other gifts. We, too, are fighting our way out of the secularist's trap. Well, I'm sorry, I don't think Almighty God sent his son to die so that the main event in Christendom could be a six-week birthday party for him every 12 months. Oh, God, the church is so deluded. From the book of Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Now, that's interesting. You see, government is a verb. It is not a noun as we treat it today. To govern, control, be in charge of is the ever-expanding reason for the birth of Christ. The Christ child's influence should be increasing. Is it increasing, church? Is Jesus more in control and more prevalent in our society than he was 20 years ago? I mean, come on, why do we need slogans like, Jesus is the reason for the season, or put Christ back in Christmas? I mean, come on, folks, isn't that oxymoronic? Can there be Christmas without Christ? I mean, that would be like President's Day without presidents. Or Martin Luther King Day. Never mind. We can do without that. Want to know why peace is not increasing around the world? It is because his government is not. The church has yielded Christ's authority to the God of humanism. Consider the following. Target stores no longer allow Salvation Army bell ringers on their property. Many businesses have ordered their clerks to not use the greeting, Merry Christmas. Christmas assemblies in our local schools have removed all mention of Jesus, and one high school principal has forbidden the viewing of Dickens' A Christmas Carol because it mentions God. The singing of Silent Night is banned. Nativity scenes are a no-no. Students are suspended from school for sharing the meaning of Christmas with their classmates. And school boards have banned the colors green and red from winter break parties. And the school district is attempting to ban the teaching of the Declaration of Independence because it mentions God. And in Philadelphia, using the Bible while preaching to the lost is considered being in possession of a criminal tool. You see, my friends, for centuries, the church has stood as the defender of truth. Our history is written with the blood of martyrs who stood in the face of adversity and persecution and declared the truth of the gospel of Christ. What is that gospel? That he is God, and there is nothing that he is not in charge of. And many have willingly died for that cause. Ladies and gentlemen, we have reached the point where we no longer must fight to keep Christ in Christmas. All across America, we are fighting to keep Christmas in Christmas. Today in America, And as the spiritual battle rages like at no time in our history, when God-hating forces are boldly and blatantly declaring that Jesus is not Lord, what is the response of the church? When the forces of hell are unleashed in the battle for the soul of this nation, when the culture is crumbling like a saltine cracker, and when a society on the verge of self-destruction screams for truth, how do Christians fight back? They don't. You see, thinking that we are doing God's will, that we are sharing the gospel, we have become deluded into thinking that we are having an impact. Oh, forget the election. Come on. You buy that garbage? But all while we're going through all of this, we are playing the role that secular, God-hating America has spelled out for us. Sharing Jesus with the already converted in the safety of our stained glass fortresses, reducing the birth of Jesus to nothing more than a month-long birthday party. You know how many times I speak with people on the telephone throughout the week or after a broadcast, and Jackie Petru and I have had this same discussion. We're preaching to the choir. Are we doing the work of God? Are our churches doing it? They're preaching to the choir. These suckers have already been sold. They're coming there on Wednesday nights. They're coming there on Sunday. And when that collection plate pack gets passed, baby, they're lining it. I mean, the pastors and preachers and the ministers and the rabbis and the priests have got a ready-made market, baby. Hallelujah, baby. Open up them doors. Pass the collection plate for Jesus. That's all we're doing. We're sharing Jesus with the already converted. You know, there's a verse in, I believe it's the book of Matthew, that I have never forgotten. And I unfortunately don't know, I couldn't tell you which book, which chapter, which verse. But I know the verse. When I return, do not let me catch you toiling in the fields. And yet that is what we as Christians are doing. During this season, I've gone out of my way to do some things out here in this local community. We've attended several of the Christmas programs in the area. Yeah, the music is great. The skits are touching. The spirit of Christmas is palpable as far as it goes. But like all birthday parties, I always leave feeling kind of happy. Think of the time and the energy and the money and the man hours that go into putting together these birthday parties. Oh, yeah, baby. It's the highlight of the year. Live manger scenes, living Christmas trees, choir concerts, children's programs. I was in a church some 10, 12 years ago, and believe it or not, they took one of the deacon's kids, and they wired this kid up and had him flying over the church like an angel. Camels and donkeys in the church. What a zoo. What a circus. For many churches, the celebration is so big that most of the congregation has to take off all of January just to rest up from the month-long fiesta. And all the while, the God-haters are at work in our schools, at the workplace, in our government, conniving to undermine all that we hold true. Being driven by these forces into the safety of our church walls, we are content to have lavish celebrations, free to worship in the box that the secularists have placed us in, too damn scared to fight back. For now, what would it be like if our churches were to focus all of the resources currently being spent on Christmas programs to truly having an impact outside the four walls? I mean, can you imagine an America where Christ was the center of public school Christmas celebrations? Where nativity scenes were placed on government lawns, where the mention of the Savior was not politically incorrect, where we were free to share the gospel of Jesus with a lost and dying world without fear of reprisal? And wouldn't that be more glorifying to God? Wouldn't that be a better gift of thanks to Jesus than a month-long celebration in the safety of our salt shakers? Salt shakers? What the hell are you talking about, Bennett? I'll tell you what I'm talking about. We have become what Matthew 5:13 has warned us about. Savorless salt. Good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men, all the while thinking we are having an impact. You know, this begins to sound like a sermon, doesn't it? Well, that's okay. About another 10 minutes, I am going to pass the collection plate. But that for the same reasons most of these phonies do. Uh-uh. Yeah, it does begin to sound like a sermon. And it's a sermon we could do each night of the week as we're on the air, because that is what we're doing. You know, Jackie's been doing this broadcast in this particular variety for about 6.5 years. I don't think she knows it's actually been longer than that. I think she's lost track. 6.5 years Jackie's been doing this in her mind. The fact of the matter was, she started it in 1997. That's more than 6.5 years, Jackie. And I know you're out there listening tonight. I've been on the air since July of 1995. And you know what? There's nights and there's days that I wonder, are we in fact nothing more than savorless salt? I'm talking about Jackie and I and other broadcasters of our ilk. Are we making a difference? Are we absolutely good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men while we're thinking we're having an impact? Ladies and gentlemen, Christians must recognize that this is our Christian D-Day. That the battle for soul of this nation is at its zenith. And now is the time to come out of our caves. The future of Christian America lies in the hands of the church. And that singing Christmas carols in our church ain't sharing the gospel. No, baby, the times in our Lord demand, oh, so much more. From Isaiah 56, 10 through 12. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his own gain, from his own quarter. Come ye, they say. And I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. I have a better suggestion. Next year, as we embark on our month-long Christmas fest, why don't you encourage your pastor to take your congregation to the local school board meeting and demand that the true meaning of Christmas be taught to the children in your public schools? What if two churches in your community went? How about three? The knees of your elected officials would begin to rattle like the bells on a sleigh. But I warn you, you better begin to plan now. Get it on the schedule, because it's always difficult to draw a crowd during Christmas time. Most folks are too busy practicing the Christmas play or the Christmas cantata or sharing the gospel by going caroling. I prefer the Christmas waltz. That's the one where you waltz around the cash register with the merchants. All these folks are going to tell you, you know, they're sick and tired of seeing Christ disrespected in our culture, but Christmas just isn't the best time to fight it. And besides, Jesus came in peace. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Jesus came in peace, all right. But don't tell me he wasn't a warrior. Because he was. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. I'll be back in a moment.
Child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap, is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet,
rather hope that somewhere out there tonight, there are some representatives of the ACLU that are listening to this program, and I frankly hope that you're learning something. Some of you who are diehard fans and strong believers of what the Anti-Christian Liberties Union truly stands for, I feel sorry for you. I pity you. And I really could frankly care less. Come on. Bring it on. You want to come after me? Nobody's forcing you or anyone else to tune into this broadcast. This is Jeff Bennett sitting in for Jackie Petru right here on Sweet Liberty. Some further comment, and toward the bottom of the hour, we are going to take care of a little bit of business. You know, one of my favorite writers who has become a very good personal friend is Steve Farrell, who not only writes regular columns for my publication, The Federal Observer, and by the way, our chat room is open tonight if you'd care to join us at www.federalobserver.com. Steve has become a personal friend. He writes regular columns, and he also writes a series called The Liberty Letters. And his latest is entitled Religious Neutrality and the Lemon Test. Letter 19. They like to say that their approach to religion and public life is what our founders gave us, what the Constitution meant in the Bill of Rights. But you know what? They'd be lying. And, well, since they are kind of anti-religious anyway, they do lie, seemingly without remorse. But the truth is, the supposed tried and tested lemon test that they all stand behind as if it were the voice of God, okay, not the voice of the God, which mandates that government must be neutral about religion. In other words, that government must force everyone who works in a public place or teaches or learns in a public classroom or stands behind a public podium, etc., etc., etc. They want us all to shut up about our faith, or else. Such a test is as far from what the founders gave us, as far from what the Constitution meant by its Bill of Rights as one can get. In 1838, Supreme Court Justice Joseph Story, who had been at that juncture on the Supreme Court bench for 25 years, and who was thus a contemporary of the Founding Fathers, wrote his familiar exposition of the Constitution of the United States, which would be incorporated into his even more widely studied Commentaries on the Constitution of the United States, which, by the way, was a required text in every law school for nearly a century, and for some still longer, wherein it made it crystal clear how dishonest, how off the beaten trail his contemporaries in the courts and in the legislative halls, in the schools, are today. Commenting on the Freedom of Religion Clause in the First Amendment, Justice Joseph Story writes thusly, "Indeed, the right of a society or government to interfere in matters of religion will hardly be contested by any persons who believe that piety or religion and morality are intimately connected with the well-being of the state and indispensable to the administration of civil justice. The promulgation of the great doctrines of religion, the being and attributes and providence of one Almighty God, the responsibility to Him for all our actions, founded upon moral accountability, a future state of rewards and punishments, the cultivation of all the personal, social, and benevolent virtues. These never can be a matter of indifference in any well-ordered community. It is indeed difficult to conceive," Story continued, "how any civilized society can well exist without them. And at all events, it is impossible for those who believe in the truth of Christianity as a divine revelation to doubt that it is the especial duty of government to foster and encourage it among all citizens and subjects. This is a point wholly distinct from that of the right of private judgment in matters of religion and of the freedom of public worship according to the dictates of one's conscience. At the time of the adoption of the Constitution," Story concludes, "and of the amendment to it, now under consideration, the general, if not the universal sentiment in America was that Christianity ought to receive encouragement from the state, so far as such encouragement was not incompatible with the private rights of conscience and the freedom of religious worship. An attempt to level all religions and to make it a matter of state policy to hold all in utter indifference would have created universal disapprobation, if not universal indignation. Yes, my friends, you heard that right. The purpose of the freedom of religion clause was to encourage, not be indifferent to Christianity. No, this is not about religious tests for office. It's not about civil punishments or exclusions or favors for one faith over another. It's not about establishing a state church. It's not about compassionate conservatism and its socialist democratic party mimicking pension to force you to love your neighbor as yourself via taxation. No, forget it. Justice Story simply spoke about letting men speak freely on the subjects of religion and morality in every forum, public or private, so that the morality of the people, the very conscience of the people, would be at a high enough pitch to sustain liberty. Now, what does that mean? Scripture informs us, I, the Lord, make you free, therefore ye are free indeed. And the law also maketh you free. Nevertheless, when the wicked rule, the people mourn. In other words, a nation without scruples, call it free if you will, is a nation in bondage or on its way. How can there be respect for private property and every other right? How can there be men in office who restrain themselves from power grabbing and every other abuse? There is no solid and enduring belief in right and wrong. And thus religious conviction is vital to the health of the state. And so the real difficulty, said Justice Story, lies in ascertaining the limits to which government may rightfully go in fostering and encouraging religion. That's the real test, my friends. The only test we should be debating. How to encourage religion and morality without compelling individuals to be religious. How amazing. What's amazing to me is my CD player is freezing up. Don't you love it? Time for new batteries, baby. This program tonight, well, for starters, it's not over. Okay, that's for starters. We have a long way to go. As I mentioned earlier, I suppose to some degree that this program sounds like a degree of sermon. I can't say what better time of the year. That's not what I do. Oh, maybe 5 or 6 times of the year I get a hold of the microphone and something will strike me and this is what I will do, and I guess I'll be preaching or I'll be ripping into the churches that aren't doing their job as they're supposed to do. Those who are toiling in the field, so to speak, waiting for his return to satisfy the ejection seat Christians, those that believe they're going to be taken away from all this before. You better read Revelations a lot more closely. We'll just let it go at that tonight. 6.5 years. Jackie claims she's been doing this for that long. I know for a fact she's been on the air longer than that. But it's been 6.5 years. It's been 100% listener-sponsored. Now, you know, you could take your tithe, so to speak, and you could, man, run right on out to candlelight services tomorrow night. Plop that money down. I'm not sure it's going to the Lord's work, folks. I'm just not convinced that that money that we're lining the pastors and the preachers and the ministers with every Sunday and every Wednesday or every holy day that they can draw us into their churches. You know what my church is? My church is my relationship with my Lord and Master. That's it. I don't go support a building fund. I damn sure don't go support any 501c3, because, ladies and gentlemen, there's always strings tied to 501c3. You know what the strings are that you'll be tied to with your financial aid, financial contributions and assistance to the Free Liberty Radio Hour? You know what your strings are? Nothing. Except one thing. To believe in what you're listening to. To continue to support the word, the education, the history, and upon occasion, proselytization, yes. That's what you're supporting. That's what keeps free liberty. I'm sorry, sweet liberty. You're going to kick my rear end, Jackie. I've done that several times. That's what keeps sweet liberty on the air. That's what keeps Jackie Petru. You know, Jackie's had her trials and tribulations in the last year or so. And I'm not telling you that to make you feel sorry for her. This is part of life. Most of you have been longtime listeners. You know the relation Jackie had with Chuck. Chuck was her rock. I'm not talking spiritually. I'm talking here, on this earth. They were a team like nobody I've known in all of this for a lot of years. They stuck together through thick and thin. Chuck was not only her rock, Chuck was her anchor. And when Chuck passed last year, Jackie could have very easily just given up and said enough is enough. But you know what? We all go through these trials. We all go through these tribulations, ladies and gentlemen. We can't give up. I gave up my last shortwave radio broadcast on Worldwide Christian Radio and Perspectives on America the 13th of November, and I walked away. That was it. I was done. I was finished with radio. I was finished with trying to reach a brain-dead sheeple that didn't seem to care or have the ability or the desire to respond and to be involved with anything. And within a matter of days, everything began to pour into my lap, whether I wanted it or not, because this is where I'm supposed to be. This is where Jackie Petru is supposed to be. You know, liberty could be sweet, but right now there ain't no liberty, and I'm not sure there's too much sweetness out there. But this is how we keep it going. I ask you, you know what? 24 hours from now is Christmas Eve, folks. And I know you've been trying to take care of your kids and your grandkids and your wife and the whole nine yards. And I'm going to give you a reprieve. You're not going to have to do that for another year. So what do you do for the next 365 days, the next 50 weeks before you have to start running out to Walmart to make those last-minute purchases to get some little gifts under the tree? Pay what you can do. You can help keep sweet liberty on the air. We need, and I ask you tonight, you know what? I don't benefit out of this. You notice I've never asked you to send one dime of your contributions to Sweet Liberty to me. You sit down and send as generous a contribution as you possibly can. You want to send cash, you can do it. You know the routine. Little tin foil, you know, so you got one baked potato you can't put in the barbecue. You want to send a money order? You want to send a personal check? If $5 is all you can afford, don't take food off your family's table. Don't preclude your family from having greatly needed medical care. But if you could afford $5, or $5 a week, or $5 a night, do what's comfortable for you. $25 contribution, $500. You do what your family can afford to help and assist to keep this word coming forth. I don't want to just keep preaching to the choir. I don't want to just keep preaching to the people inside the walls. Do you understand? And nor does Jackie. It is important that we reach out to new listeners, to new people. people, new parishioners, if you will. And in that direction, that's why I ask for your contributions. So who are you going to send those contributions to? How are you going to get them out there? Send those contributions and your donations for Sweet Liberty. Address them to Jackie Patru, P-A-T-R-U. Jackie is J-A-C-K-I-E. Jackie Patru at P.O. Box 190, Millerton, Pennsylvania. That's not Millertown, Millerton, M-I-L-L-E-R, just like a beer with a T-O-N after it. Millerton, Pennsylvania, 16936. You want to make your check out to WWCR? You want to make it out to First Amendment Radio? Contributions go both ways. We have a goal right now, and that is to bring the Sweet Liberty bill down so low with WWCR that we can go back in and renegotiate a lower rate. But we need your help to do that. And then, if we can get our way, if we can pull these negotiations off with WWCR, on behalf of Jackie, on behalf of Sweet Liberty, on behalf of America, then we've got some muscle to go in and fight with and try to get her rate reduced. That's amongst the goals. But we need your help. And I know there's some of you that sit down week after week after week and help. I only do this once a week. And we're using up valuable time tonight. But ladies and gentlemen, hate to say it, but your Christmas spending is over. Help us out for the next 48 to 50 weeks. You want to do it in one lump sum, that's okay. You want to send us a monthly contribution to Jackie? Please do so. Jackie Patru, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, Pennsylvania, 16936. And you want to know what? If you want to give Jackie a call and talk to her personally, be my guest. Her phone number is area code 570-537-3035. That's 570-537-3035. Thanks for allowing me this time to go a little bit longer than I normally do. Let me get all this straight. I haven't quite been able to figure all this out. Christians apparently founded this nation, or the country. There are still more than 80% of Americans who claim to be Christians. And well over half of those take their religion seriously, they claim, attending church at least once a week. Well, sorry, but just going to church doesn't, to me, show me you're taking your religion seriously. There's the first problem, that word religion. Anyway, we'll move on away from that for tonight. A very large percentage of our elected and appointed government officials at all levels claim to be Christian. But you see, I'm not supposed to wish anyone a Merry Christmas. The campaign to eliminate Christmas from our society is oh so well underway, my friends. You know, back when I was in grade school, I remember one year we made up a whole bunch of posters. We walked the streets asking merchants to display them, saying, put Christ back into Christmas. Well, you know, even now I realize that there were Jewish owners of clothing in department stores who willingly cooperated. And, you know, back in his day, the principal of Holy Trinity Grade School, Reverend Stephen Labage in Racine, Wisconsin, inspired kids to make those posters by telling kids that some people in the community were trying to take Christ out of Christmas. Whoa! It's a good thing that the good father didn't live to see what's happening today. For the momentum to eliminate Christmas altogether is gaining strength at frightening speed, and you can feel it, smell it, and touch it, taste it, but almost no one, not even most clergymen, wish strangers or even friends a Merry Christmas anymore. Oh, no, we wouldn't want to offend anybody, would we? Now, there's a writer out there who many of you know, Charles Krauthammer, who, by the way, happens to be of the Jewish faith. Recently writing in a brilliantly insightful piece, suggested that some of this effort to take Christmas out of American public life is coming from secular Jews who have not educated their children in their own rich heritage and who want to shield them from fear. feeling bad when they hear carols which relate to events with which they are not familiar. Oy vey. He points out that you almost never hear Orthodox Jews making complaints about a creche at City Hall, or for that matter, Christmas carols during a school pageant. It's because they understand their own heritage. They feel good about who they are, and thus are not threatened by Christians or what we believe. Well, being politically correct, I've made it a point to tell merchants both in person and on the phone who say happy holidays that it's okay to wish me a Merry Christmas. You know, the reaction is unbelievable from residents of a nation which was once considered Christian. Oh, most of them gasp. Some even look away. You know, they kind of look down. They're embarrassed. Others nervously say, well, okay, okay, Merry Christmas then. Yeah, it's true. Historically, early Christians did not celebrate Christmas. Universal celebration of Christmas did not occur until about the 5th century. That's in the 400s, for those of you who can't figure that out. It's the only religious feast which began in the West and was imported into the East. But, you know, December the 25th was not the original date when Christmas was celebrated. The first date of celebration was January the 6th, the Epiphany. Many Russian Orthodox churches still celebrate Christmas on January the 7th. Now, that is a date that has great meaning to me. That happens to be my daughter's birthday. And my wife was so out of it giving birth some 26-odd years ago that she did not even realize that our first child had been born on the Epiphany. See, my wife was raised Orthodox, Catholic. You think that ain't been a tough one to overcome over the years? Like, hey, geez. But she was raised in that old Russian Orthodox, Greek Orthodox mentality. You know, I don't know about you, but I've never heard Orthodox Russians complain that they are being discriminated against because they have to keep their presents under the tree longer. I want my present. Open them. Become a Jew. You get 11 days of it or whatever it is. You know, I mention this bit of history because I now find myself being lectured to by non-believers about the fact that Christians didn't always celebrate the feast, as if that's supposed to justify their actions. Many of these militant secularizers are former Christians. Militant secularizers now number around 14% of the population, which, believe me, is a heck of a lot bigger than the little minority groups of the homos and a few of these other organizations. There's enough of them that Democrats had a special outreach program during the last election just to garner their votes. The same way that Republic rats had a special outreach to the evangelicals and Catholics. They no longer believe in Christmas, if they ever did, and by golly, they just don't want others to enjoy it if they can't. You see, they're angry. The best way they can get back to God and get back at God and the rest of us is to take away a joyous celebration. Oh, granted, much of which has come to symbolize Christmas has nothing to do with religious celebration any longer. What I remember is the different attitude which came over people at Christmas time when I was a kid. Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol was based on reality. At that Christmas, people became kinder. You know, even old Scrooge softened up and kindness prevailed. My late father, God rest his soul, used to say that you could feel the difference in the whole society at Christmas time. You know, my dad was a pretty cantankerous old SOB, and even at Christmas time, I noticed that he would soften up. You know, throughout the whole rest of the year, it was, yeah, what do you want? You'd call him up on the phone. Yeah, what do you want? Now, I won't tell you what he said around the holiday season, but it was a lot lighter. What I remember is the different attitude which came over the people at Christmas time. Now, we passed. We did that already. I got to move on. Non-Christian world leaders in the old days used to at least make some sort of gesture of goodwill at Christmas time. But you know what? They no longer do it. Could it be that they don't make such gestures because they know that Christmas has become unimportant? Back then it was universal. Christmas was the one holiday when people could be sure to be with their family. Well, of course, firemen and hospital nurses, police officers, and other essential people worked. Of course, now we got our military spread all over the world, and they're working, and they can't be home with their families, you know. But for the most part, business is shut down, but that's not the case anymore. The grocery stores are open 24 hours a day. The grocery stores, the only thing it's not is car dealers. I'm surprised they're not opening on Christmas Day. radio stations which used to play genuine Christmas carols at this time of the year no longer do. They don't play Silent Night or Angels We Have Heard on High, but because now it's winter music. Johnny Mathis, Perry Como, Bing Crosby, the Boston Pops. Well, you kind of get the picture. What little Christmas is left has nothing to do with Christ. The real shift has simply been the disappearance of the mention of Christmas. If I hear Have a Nice Holiday one more time, I may just scream or get itchy trigger fingers. I haven't sure which. If we majority Christians tolerate this, then we damn well get what we deserve. When are we going to stand up and say to this militant minority, you don't have the right to take Christmas from us? What is happening is because we've become tepid. We've been castrated. We've been conditioned to think that if we insist on celebrating Christmas other than perhaps in the inner sanctum of our own homes, we'll be offending someone. Hey, whatever happened to that old adage of the 60s and the 70s? Hey, man, do whatever makes you feel good. All I say to all these anti-Christs and anti-Christians is utter nonsense. If they're offended, it's their problem, not ours. In the current parlance, we should just tell them, we're here, we're not going away, and neither is Christmas. Deal with it. You see, if Christmas disappears, it will be because we let it happen. It isn't too late to reverse things, but you got to start with little things. When merchants wish you a happy holiday, tell them, I'd prefer it if you'd wish me a Merry Christmas. If the ACLU tries to take Christmas carols out of your public schools, there's at least three public interest law firms which will take your case at no charge. And likewise, if attempts are made to stop a religious display at City Hall or to prevent a religious float in a so-called Christmas parade, well, I guess if you've got a mind to contact a couple of these characters, Jerry Falwell or Pat Robertson, believe it or not, each of whom has a public interest law operation, but the Rutherford Institute's out there, they'll take the case. And I don't recommend Falwell or Robertson for anything, because I'll tell you what, the first thing you try to do is they're going to be dipping into that collection plate, baby. They want into your pocket. Does that offend you that I say something like that? That's the problem. In America today, people are afraid to hear the truth, because they might have to act on it. They might have to change the way they think of their belief system. But you see, once those who hate God figure out we're not going to roll over and play dead, they're going to find something else upon which to spend their time and resources. Don't you dare blame them for what's happening. Go brush your teeth or shave or comb and brush your hair in the morning and look at the guy in the mirror, because that's whose fault it is. We've been too tolerant. It's high time we put Christ back into Christmas. And today, that plea is far more relevant than it was back in 1954. And just to make sure that I can equally offend everyone, please, please, let me say this to you. Merry Christmas. What do we got for music up here? I've moved stuff around. I don't know what I've got. We're going to give you one more quick piece of music, and then I've got to do a final closeout statement. So stick around with us. Need a little bit of jazz, a little Oscar Peterson. God rest, ye merry gentlemen. Allow. I guess this particular column I'm about to share with you struck me because of its heading, which I won't give to you until the end. Written by Henry Lamb. It's published on the Federal Observer. People who want to take Christ out of Christmas should be pitied, to a point. See, these folks see Christ as the leading character in an ancient book of fiction and are offended by people who express a different perception. Be the same folks who want to take under God out of the Pledge of Allegiance and the Ten Commandments out of public buildings, and they even want to take Christianity out of American history. Well, Christmas is the time of year that inspires the best human attributes in people: charity, forgiveness, compassion, all epitomized by a lowly carpenter in stories that have survived centuries of challenge. It is indeed a pity that there are people who fail to recognize that Christmas is a celebration of these best of human qualities. In the spirit of Christmas, these people should be pitied, but they must not prevail. You see, the same book that tells about the humble birth and the acts of love and kindness demonstrated by the central figure of the Christmas celebration also describes the point at which the abuse of love and compassion requires stronger action. He made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple. The tiny handful of malcontents who are offended by Christ in Christmas or by the influence of Christianity in the shaping of America need to be driven from the temple, so to speak. And while they are eager to proclaim how deeply they are offended, they care not that their actions are even more offensive to the rest of society. Every year, the Antichrist malcontents grow bolder, more aggressive, exert more influence through the use of lawsuits and the threat of lawsuits. And every time a school decides to ban traditional Christmas music, students are deprived of a wonderful musical experience and an opportunity to celebrate the most important aspects of Christmas. The vast majority of people are denied their right to free expression to satisfy the whims of a few. And when city fathers so fear a lawsuit that they deny the display of a nativity scene, they offend the vast majority of their citizens to satisfy the whims of a few. If the majority does nothing, then the malcontents will prevail. Christianity is as much a part of America as are the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights, all targets of the Antichrist malcontents. And none of these ingredients can be expunged from the American experience. It is time, my friends, to make a whip of cords and drive these Antichrist malcontents from the halls of influence. And I think Henry Lamb is being polite by calling them Antichrist malcontents. We speak here, in my mind, of the ACLU. The majority of people can elect governors and presidents who will appoint judges who are not offended by the reality of Christianity in American history. And the majority of people can elect senators who will confirm these judges. And the majority of people can elect state legislators and county commissioners and city councilmen who are not cowed by threats from the Antichrist malcontent minority. People in every community can organize and support elected officials who stand up and say no to the demand to remove Christ from Christmas or Christianity from public life and replace those officials who acquiesce to the demands of the malcontents. You see, my friends, the vast majority of people know that expressions of Christianity in public life is not state-imposed nor state-sanctioned religion. Antichrist malcontents, including some judges, severely distort the First Amendment by claiming that religious displays violate the separation of church and state. I hope we put that to rest tonight with the words of Justice John Story. The state may not make nor interpret laws that either establish or prohibit the free expression of any religion. The mere sound of a Christmas carol or the sight of a nativity scene or a menorah or the reference to God and the Declaration of Independence or the Pledge of Allegiance does not constitute the establishment of a religion. The people who are offended by these experiences are indeed to be pitied. They are not, however, required to appreciate nor to participate in the Christian experience. And nor do they have any right to require or to expect the rest of society to conform to their Antichrist values. See, America requires no one to practice any religion, and nor does it prohibit anyone from practicing any religion. This, First Amendment guarantee is a fundamental principle of freedom. Every time an Antichrist malcontent succeeds in forcing the removal of a nativity scene or prohibiting the singing of Christmas carols, then the free expression of religion is denied, thereby eroding this fundamental principle of freedom. This erosion must stop. To these inconsiderate Antichrist malcontent mischief makers, we offer a few words of advice. No, not those words. We'll get by tonight by just saying, get over it. If this were Jerry Moraine, I'm sure there's three other words that he would use. Another week goes by. And next week when we get back together, it'll be approaching a new year. To me, it's just another day. Thanks to Jackie for allowing me to sit in as her guest host here on the Thursday night edition of Sweet Liberty. Thanks to Nicholas over at First Amendment Radio for persevering and continue to work with us. And our good friends over at WWCR, Worldwide Christian Radio. And Joe, if you good folks up in Idaho are picking us up tonight, thanks so much. It's been another interesting year. I wish Merry Christmas to each and every one of you and to our dear listeners who have stayed with us and supported us. Don't forget, take advantage, assist this program, this ministry. Keep us moving forward, ladies and gentlemen. It's needed. Without apology, we hope you have a very Merry Christmas.
Listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the SweetLiberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.